Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we cover the best show on TV, Warrior. Season 2, episodes
5 and 6.
I was going to say 4 and 5. It's 5 and 6. We're halfway through, almost. Halfway through this season already. Fantastic. These are some freaking banger episodes.
Yes, I know you had a good time this week.
Dude, okay, Big Dick Lee has his name back.
Yay!
It's Big Dick Lee. He is back. He is back.
Why do you say that?
Because he went full freaking Neo in this episode. Bro, did you see the freaking gunslinging?
He took down like four people at once.
I was like, that's my Big Dick Lee. I was so excited.
He's a crackhead.
He's not. No. He's better now.
Have a couple of drinks, and then he'll be like, you know what I love of this show is Big Dick Lee. I love that guy's dick.
Dude, a toy fixed him. A toy fixed him up. He's like, you're safe now. And he was like, okay.
I fix you.
Yeah, you're safe.
If you'll go dump him in an opium den, say you're fixed. Hey, you want to go smoke some more crack?
One man's crack is another man's medicine.
You can just get your drugs from me instead of from some other asshole.
He recovered his name. I don't play that shit. Well, whatever. Too bad for you, because I had fun with the Big Dick Lee today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Matt Vader's begrudgingly here. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Indeed.
Apparently need to drink.
Yes,
to
you
be
do.
Able to do this.
Yep, it's water today because you have to go to work. Yeah. And that's a bummer.
Fucking work.
This is why we don't do things on Wednesdays. Jude is also here.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
How awesome were these episodes?
Pretty good episodes.
Pretty good.
I'm excited to talk about them.
Me too. I have notes this time around.
I know.
I told you. I can't wait
to see what your notes are.
Oh, they're just like, hey, this happened. Matthew Kadish is also here producing the show. What's up, dude?
Yeah, we have our mid-season point with a real banger of an episode, and then we had another one of our bottle episodes, kind of like in season one where they went to the saloon.
In the middle of Nevada. Nowhere.
And these were two really good episodes.
Yep. I love these bottle episodes. Usually I complain about shows that have bottle episodes, but in this show I'm like, well, I'm not mad. This is freaking dope.
I didn't think of them as bottle episodes.
Yeah?
No, they're pushing the story forward.
Yeah, but we'll get into it on episode 6. But episode 6 kind of is like a little, it's like its own little thing.
I feel like in other shows it's kind of like the mystery of the week or the monster of the week. But with this, it's like the mid-season, like
respite,
like fight of the week. Yeah. It doesn't end up mattering in the rest of the season, but they make it so good that you're just like, yeah, give me more.
Yeah, yeah. And I have in my notes that there is some serious setup and payoff because I had to double check them, and it worked.
All right,
you guys are good.
Okay.
All right. Without further ado, episode 5 of Warrior, season 2. Take it away, Jude.
Season 2, episode 5. Not for a drink, a fuck, or a goddamn prayer.
What a title.
Well, Mercer Steele is fucked. Bill rallies the officers to take down the Fung Hai. Big Dick Lee rolls in looking road hard and put away wet. He and Bill have words for each other and both make it clear they're not happy with each other's life choices. Assam walks through the aftermath of the explosion and Penny has some words for him. Leary looks real relaxed while he's getting questioned by the police chief. A toy arrives in wine country. Rich Lady Davenport gives her the tour of the winery, and a toy's like, oh, shit, you mean there's work for young Chinese girls that's not prostitution? Then they sample some wine in each other's vaginas. Mayor Humdinger inspects the damage to Mercer Steele and gloats over Penny's failure to deliver on the city contract. Young June is losing his shit again. Assam tries to formulate a new plan to replace the molasses. Hong uses his super hearing powers, and suddenly they're the three best friends that anyone can have. Chow drops off Zing's knife order, and Lee Young sneaks in with him. Bill waits outside with the police, but the plan goes wrong when Zing decides to make an example of Chow. Zing sends men to look for Lee Young, and it's two against all the Fung Hai. Once Bill hears Chow's self-preservation pistol go off, the police enter in full force while Lee Young and Zing face off separately. In the morning, the chief walks through all the dead Fung Hai guys like, gross. Oh, is that a sword? Case closed. Bill congratulates himself on some good policing, but Lee won't let it go. Mai Ling is real pissed that Lee Young moved on Zing behind her back. Assam goes to Atoy for help with the molasses problem, and Atoy urges him not to go against Father June. Chow kidnaps his daughter and gives her to Rich Lady Davenport, and Assam goes back into the fighting pits to make some molasses money. Big Sis stops by to say hi.
Mm.
Discuss.
It's powerful scene.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff happens in this episode. Yeah,
this was like the Red Wedding episode, but for the fun guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
who didn't have a whole lot of fun this episode.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, the least amount of fun the fun guys ever had.
So this episode starts off with Lee Young and Mylin kind of having a heart-to-heart together, and the only thing I could think about was her dress.
Why?
This is
like a nightgown, right?
Yeah, so... God, I'm like, did she say something? I wasn't listening to anything you just said because it was too distracting. Gorgeous dress.
That's funny because I look at her now and I just get annoyed.
Why?
Because she's dumb.
She is not.
She is dumb.
Give me an example.
She's probably the dumbest character on this show because it's all about.
But she looks so good.
Trying to make her place in Chinatown, and she just doesn't really know what she's doing.
Are you mad that she's not being harder on the Fung Hai? Is that what it is?
I don't know, maybe. But I don't buy into her character anymore like I used to.
Huh.
At all. Hmm. I'm on Lee Hong's side or her boyfriend, whatever.
I'm also on
He's the smart one. He knows what's going on. He knows how to run this thing. He knows, and he has to go behind her back to make her look good, to make her
More powerful.
More powerful by, fixing all her problems that she doesn't even know she has, apparently. So yeah, she's a weak character.
I totally disagree.
No, that's fine.
Tell me why you disagree.
So I think that the men in power of the Tongs, who have been in power for a long time, they've done it by tradition and they've done it by respecting each other's word. And as someone who grew up in Mai Ling's shoes, she's had a rough fucking life. She was sold off to some guy to save her brother. She was raped constantly. She was beaten constantly. She had to make her way over here. And then she had to figure out how to become this woman in power. And she's using all of that power with an iron fist, not by like, this is how we've always done it. It's this is how we're doing it now. And okay. I'm going to rule in whatever way I see fit and however much power I can grab onto.
But without Lee Young, do you think the Fung Hai would have had the upper hand on her?
She'd be.
Do you think?
Eventually, he's working
on it. So what is she? Why is she not dealing with that with an iron fist like she is with everything else?
Because she needs them, and I mean, they showed their numbers. And the second she tries to go against them, before she has a formulated plan, they'll take her down. They have no problem.
Yeah, that's not a position of power.
No.
Though. That's a position of weakness, which is why Lee Young is like, I gotta handle
this. They were absolutely in a position of weakness, and the funnest guy was gonna go make her his bitch.
I think Mai Ling and Xing were a lot alike because they don't give a shit who they kill, who is their collateral damage. They just want the power.
Well, here's my take on it. So like, I'm kind of falling between Vader and Jude on this one because, Mai Ling has the long game in mind,
mm-hmm.
right? She knows that the only thing that's keeping the peace between the Long Z and the Hop Wei are the Fun Guys.
Mm-hmm.
And she understands that Xing is a threat, but she's biding her time because when the time comes, she has Buckley in her corner mm-hmm. where basically at any point when she wants him to, they can send in the police to take care of the Fun Guys just like they did in this episode. What Li Yong did was he kind of jumped the gun on that. And basically took the Fung Hai off the chessboard before she was ready. And so she was not only pissed off about that, but she was also pissed off that the guy who's supposed to be her right-hand man, the guy that she's supposed to trust the most, lied to her and basically betrayed her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that was, I think, the real crux of that scene. It wasn't so much that Xing kind of, like, got taken off the chessboard. It was that, this all happened behind her back without her knowledge.
Yeah, so to be clear, we're talking about the opening scene of this is a different discussion. They're talking about her relationship with Asam. And then at the end of this episode, they're talking about the aftermath when Lee Young is like dressing his wounds and stuff like that. She confronts him about what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of mixing those two scenes together and talking about the whole arc between those two people. But I sometimes forget that she's like hanging out with Buckley in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And that jogged my memory. I'm like, oh yeah, she does have. Like,
she's got other irons in the fire.
Yeah, she has a wild card ready to pull at any point that Lee Young doesn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me wonder
why. What Lee Young did was just make her more vulnerable to the Hop Wei because now she doesn't have the Fung Hai behind her.
Well, I'll also notice as soon as she lost the Fun Guys, she went to Awesome and was like, "Sorry, I tried to have you killed.
Yeah.
you want to be brother sister again? So like, you know, we can join forces."
Yeah.
and she, take down our enemies.
She does feel bad about that. I mean, both scenes where she was talking about her brother, she started to tear up a little bit. She's like,
yeah, but she held off until she, like, you know, lost all of her muscle.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
I just find her to be the most disingenuous character.
Huh.
Of the whole roster.
That's an interesting perspective.
I wouldn't shed a tear if she got whacked neck episode.
Really?
No.
I'd be bummed out. Not at all. All right. There's something else. I kind of want to do all of Penny's stuff together because she's like peppered throughout the episode, but all her stuff kind of has to do with the same thing. It's the destruction of the factory. Mm-hmm. So she is walking through the factory and she finds out about the opium because what's her man's name?
Jacob.
Jacob shows up and he's like, hey, you know that nasty smell? Like, there's a whole
bunch of dead hops lie in the back.
She's like, God damn it, awesome. What the hell? And then her husband shows up to gloat. And I just, this guy is so sleazy.
I hate him.
He's pretty gross.
He's so.
Yeah, Mayor Humdinger.
Yeah, Mayor Humdinger shows up and he's like, oh, what a shame. Your factory's blown up. And
I don't think you'll be able to sell the factory now, do you?
Dude,
where are my kitties?
Paw Patrol.
My kitties wouldn't blow up your factory.
Man, my kitties would be nice.
When he's like,
it'll be good to have you at home again, dear.
Yeah.
You freaking sicko.
Just makes you hate Sophie even more.
Yes, yeah. I hate Sophie.
You mean that chick that wasn't in this?
She wasn't in this at all, was she? Yeah. Where was she? Neither, well, I mean, the second. Okay,
neither was Irish guy.
Wiping soot off of her?
Yeah, well, the second episode takes place.
Dennis Leary was in this episode.
Yeah, Leary.
For one scene.
Yeah.
Episode six takes place out of town. So that makes sense why she wasn't in that one. But why wouldn't she be there for the aftermath of this?
Because she exploded her family legacy and was just like, maybe I'll just lay low for an episode.
She just tucked her tail and ran away.
She's like, she's going to go down to the docks and be a whore.
I've been in my room this whole... What happened?
What? Oh, my God.
What?
She'll be like, Sophie, you have soot all over your face.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was cleaning the fireplace for you.
Dumb kid. I think that's what we came up with last episode, is that she's just a stupid child and she didn't didn't understand the
consequences. She absolutely is.
Yeah.
It wants to act like a grown-up.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that happens to Penny. She like gets confronted by the mayor.
That's basically all she does anymore.
Yeah,
she bitches about her family legacy and gets fight with her husband.
Well, yeah. she also broke up with Assam again.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's rightfully so.
He's another character though they can write off, and I wouldn't care about it.
Penny.
Yeah,
you're done with Penny, huh?
She doesn't do anything.
And her eyebrows are all jacked.
I haven't noticed the eyebrows since the first
mustache.
Episode.
She has a mustache.
She doesn't have a mustache.
Lies. Lies.
It's there if you look at it hard enough.
Kind of in going with Penny's storyline is we get one scene with Mr. Leary and the police chief.
Oh, yeah.
And Leary's looking real relaxed. Oh. The police chief is like, we know you did this. And he's like, how do you know that?
You don't know anything.
The chief is like, I know you blew up the goddamn factory. And he's like, well, I've read about it. He pulls the magazine out or the newspaper. And they have a straight talk. Mm-hmm. It was cool to see the chief, like, he was wearing the uniform, but for a minute there, he's like, I'm not wearing a uniform right now. I know you did it. I know you're being a dick. Better stop or I'm not going to stop.
And Leary's like, you remember you're an Irishman, right?
Yeah.
Irish first.
Yeah, but he also makes it clear, it's like, oh, if you want to come after me, I'm going to lead like a populist uprising against this entire city.
I'm gonna burn it down.
It's like you're taking food off of people's plates, and eventually, you know, bad thing starts happening. Mm-hmm. So he's playing, there's a butting of heads happening there.
Yeah,
but
they're
don't know.
Each seeing like what they can get away with the other.
Yeah. I don't know if I take the Chiefs.
Leary's balls are huge. Huge balls.
Huge balls.
Huge balls.
Well, I think Leary also knows that he's got a lot of friends in the police department. Like the Irishmen who
I kind of feel like the chief's threats kind of rang a little hollow because half his guys are Irish and they would probably side with Leary.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's got any.
The only one that's not going to side with Leary is Big Dick Lee.
Yeah.
It's going to be Big Dick Lee against all of San Francisco.
You think Bill would side with Leary?
I don't know, maybe.
It's a tough call. Because I think ultimately he would have Lee's back because Lee had his back.
I don't know. He was being pretty hard on Lee in this episode where he's like, oh, get over the fact that like my actions caused you to have like brain damage.
Oh, what did he say? Oh, yeah, that's my next thing on the list is like the preparation for the cops to go take down the Fung Hai.
And Lee's like, did you tell them why they attacked you? And Bill's like, shh, don't think about it.
No, Bill's response is like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
You tell the man why the Fung Hai attacked you?
Why would I do that?
Just the smart response.
And he's like, if you show up anything but dead sober to Nara, we're going to have big problems. And he's like, is that an order, sir? And then they have this little, like, lover spat where they slams the door and walks away.
See, I don't like Lee's attitude.
What?
You hate everyone good.
I think he's just a pain in the ass.
You're crazy.
Go do some more drugs.
Who do you like?
I like Awesome.
Okay.
I like Young June.
Yeah, for sure.
I like Hong.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I like most of the Chinese guys.
You don't like any of the white
dudes? Most of the white people in this show are kind of useless.
Do you like a toy?
Sometimes.
Yeah, can we talk about the new lesbian romance?
Yeah, that was out of left field.
Yeah, completely unnecessary. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't need that.
It's like, oh, lesbianism. Why? Who gives a fuck? You know?
I think that word is my trigger. No, lesbianism. It's a disease you should be aware of. Protect your children from lesbianism.
Look, obviously there's a mixed bag.
Throw it all in there.
There's a mixed bag of people in this show. None of us have a problem with that. But this just came out of like nowhere for me. I was like, what? Really? So anyway, so the context for this. Kadesh, you want to tell people what happened? How they got to this?
So Miss Davenport, who's kind of like the white savior of all like the belabored sex trafficked Asian women, she has a vineyard in Napa. Where she takes all of the rescued prostitutes to.
Rescued?
Gives them purpose. And so she invites a toy out there, and a toy comes out, and she sees, like, how all of these girls have, like, a better life at this winery. And Miss Davenport basically, like, kind of seduces her, like, gets her to taste some of the wine and stuff like that. And when our toy's like, oh, this place reminds me of my grandmother. And then they start making out.
And nothing gets you hot like thinking of your grandmother.
That's so what I mean. It just didn't make any sense.
Oh, I miss my grandma.
I mean,
but man, your vag makes me hot.
We've seen that a toy kind of swings both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the whole thing with Davenport just kind of came out of left
field.
This
ultra-conservative white woman who needs her... her Chinese slave girls to be field slaves instead of sex slaves. But it's okay because they all get a bowl of soup at the end of the day.
Thank you. I think it's better than a bowl of soup, but I love the fact that you're like, yeah, it's just slave labor. Like she rescues these girls and you're like, you'll have a better life over here. Plow the fields.
Yeah. Go pick all those weeds. And make sure those
get out in the hot
growing.
Sun and make my wine.
All right, if I had a choice between being forced to live in a brothel and fuck dudes from the time I'm 12, or go pick some grapes and I get to sample wine at the end of the night, I'm picking the winery.
Fair.
I get it,
but let's call it what it is.
Almost all of the girls. I don't think she's gotten anyone from a toys brothel, but all of the other brothels, she had to like. Get those women out of there because they were forced into slavery.
Fair.
All of Atoy's girls chose it.
Fair. Uh-huh. Every point you just made is 100% fair. Also slave labor. Yes.
Okay. Also, Miss Davenport, white lady?
Yeah.
That did not come out of nowhere for me.
Really?
I suspected all along. I mean, I've seen this before, but I had suspected all along that she wasn't into men.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she hits on a toy, I was like, oh, because she knows a toy fucks.
You know, any.
Like, do you know how hard it is to find good lesbian sex in 17 whatever this is?
Also, fair point.
A toy is your sure thing.
All right. I didn't get the impression that she wasn't swinging. No. But
I didn't either.
Whatever.
She's probably swinging something.
No,
you know, it is a very modern. It's a very modern show. You never know. Could be. Just saying.
I was gonna say something about the girl. Oh, also, I still get the creeps from this lady.
The
white lady. I'm like, there's a dark
something
shadow happening that we're just not there yet. Yeah.
But
I'm
she's the savior.
Well, I don't trust her.
She's the savior.
Isn't she based on a real person though?
Yeah,
probably.
She is.
One of the real person was a lesbian.
I don't know.
Into lesbianism.
Protect your children. Wear masks.
Jude's fist, like, put the camera on Vader. Jude's fist is just gonna come flying over the side of the camera.
I feel like
bop.
It's gonna be an empty bottle, just like swinging.
Anyway, it was interesting. I enjoy the little bit of a backstory with the toy. She feels bad. I like seeing the softer side of a toy, but. I'm like, let's get back to the. I like San Francisco a toy.
I'm waiting for Bill and Lee to hook up out of left field for no reason.
Well, he doesn't have a wife anymore.
You know, it's going to happen.
She's like, Big Bill and Big Dick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Is Big Dick Lee going to Billy Goat?
She's like, she's like, my fan fiction's finally about, paying off.
That's about how much this shit makes sense to me.
Trapper read my script?
No. Let's just ship everybody.
Let's do it. Fuck it. All right. What happens next? Let's see here. Assam and Young Jun.
Cool.
They're screwed.
Yeah.
They're real screwed. Uh-huh. And they're kind of freaking out about it, which they totally should be.
But the best part of that freak out is when Hong comes into play. They're just like, get the fuck out of here. You don't know what's going on. Then he tells them exactly what's going on.
Every single thing they just said.
He's like, oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I'm totally too new. Uh-huh. In my notes, I called him the fucking new guy. FNG. The big FNG shows up and is like, hey, you know, I know I'm too new to know what's going on, but... XYZ. Yeah. And they were like,
it sounds like you were selling molasses on the side and your stash got blown up. You don't have any more money. And Father June keeps an eye on the accounts and he's going to know it. And you guys are screwed right now and you need to find some other supplier. And Awesome and Young June are just like,
nailed it, buddy.
Is this guy a Mary Goo? What is it called? Mary Goo. What is it?
Gary Stu.
Gary Stu. Is this guy a Gary Stu? Mary He's good Goo. At everything.
Mary Goo. That's something else.
That's probably a sex move. Along there with
the Anson Mount.
With the Anson Mount.
I think a Gary Stu is a version of a Mary Sue. I think that's right.
I'm saying is Hong that in this show? Is he too good at everything?
I don't get those vibes.
He is Hong Solo.
Yes.
I just get that he is a comedy relief a little bit.
Yeah. He's definitely
he plays off the other guys very well. And he goes and kicks somebody's ass when they need to kicked. I can't wait to talk about
next episode with him. He steals the guy's boots. We'll talk about that in a second.
Spoiler.
Awesome.
but this episode was very light on the Awesome storyline. He kind of shows up, sees the aftermath of what happened at Mercer Steel, goes and informs Young Jun, and they kind of brainstorm like what they're going to do. He decides he's going to go back to Happy Jack and try and kind of leverage their relationship to get like a discount or like a advance.
Happy Jack has made it clear they don't have a relationship.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that they didn't show us that scene.
Well, I mean, I think it would have kind of slowed things down. But basically, him and Hong go to Happy Jack. That doesn't happen. And so they feel like they're screwed. And this basically forces Awesome to go to Vega at the Barbary Coast. And before that, he goes to Atoy and he's like, hey, can I get a loan?
And she's like, fuck
no. Hard fuck no.
Yeah. And Atoy's like, you're going to start a war. No, I'm not giving you a loan. Yeah. Don't cross Father June. And then he goes to Vega and he's like, hey, is that fight tournament you told me about that has the huge prize money still going on? And she's like, yeah, you want to do it? And Awesome's like, yes.
I like the scene with Atoy and Awesome when Atoy is like taking it to task, like, you're freaking screwing up right now.
Yeah.
And then it's like kind of she starts figuring out, oh, you're just like your sister.
Yeah.
You think you can do a better job than everybody else. I mean,
what was great about that scene is it made it clear that everything Awesome's doing, it's because he actually wants to take over the Tong.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like Young Jun's wingman, you know, like he's like he has his sister's kind of cutthroat power play mentality.
And it's all just to get revenge.
Assam is doing to Young Jun what Mai Ling did to
the original
Long Z.
Long Z?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay.
He named his Tong after himself.
Man, good for him.
As he should. It's his Tong, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like saying it's the Matt Vader gang.
Okay. That's a good gang.
Should we rename the podcast?
They kick all your asses.
You mean
like how somebody named a podcast after his?
It's not the Alex's podcast, okay?
It's the Salty Nerd.
That is me.
Hey, didn't Ryan Johnson name the podcast?
I think he called me Toxic.
The Toxic Nerd?
The Toxic Nerd, which is fine.
Don't bring his name up.
It wasn't Ryan Johnson. It was that other doofus from Lucasfilm. What was his name?
James Mangold?
No, that's not. No.
Oh.
Pablo
Hidalgo. That's who did it. Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Here's a fuck for you. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I like that Atoy kind of like called him on that. And then we can kind of, it almost like peeled back a layer of the onion on Atoy. Awesome. We're like, it's like for me, because I'm kind of dumb and I'm watching the show. And I'm like, oh, he totally is. And it was like an aha moment for me. It was neat. I
like
that.
This whole time you're like, Young Jun cannot be the leader of this Tong.
Yeah.
He's too much of a hothead. Mm. He doesn't know what he's doing. He lets Assam call the shots. And then you're like, oh.
Yeah. So do you think Assam eventually would try and kill young June to take the power?
For sure.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Assam is very calculating on what he's doing here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Assam's pulling a Buckley. Or I don't think he'd kill young June. I think he'd just pull the strings from behind the scenes.
That's not a bad idea either.
Pull a Buckley.
The same way Mai Ling did. Mai Ling didn't become the leader. She formed an alliance with the leader, became his right hand, and now she is taking over.
Mm-hmm. Well, she did kill him, though.
Yeah.
But it was an opportunity.
She was going to kill him.
It was
him
an opportunity.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And she was just waiting for it.
She just didn't kill him.
He knew he was going to die at somebody's hand that night.
You think, I could see young June being in like some kind of a trouble in a fight or something like that. Awesome just kind of like, well, I'm not going to help you this time.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it happen and then take over. I could see that. That's dark. All right. What happens next? Yeah. Pretty early on in this episode, which is another reason why I love it, is the setup for the action starts like halfway through the episode. We get all the important story stuff out of the way, and then boom, we cut to the Fung Hai house with Chow and all that stuff. And
the Fung Hai raid took up a big chunk of this
episode. I loved it. I was having so much fun. So Chow shows up with the delivery of the knives, and they're spitting back and forth. And
How about Leong's costume?
I love it. That's a callback to Enter the Dragon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they said. I could be wrong about the movie, but it's definitely
exactly like Bruce Lee's disguise.
Yeah, that was cool. And also, there's a scene I think in the next episode where Awesome gets the scratches.
Yeah,
also
yeah,
Bruce
so,
Lee.
Yeah. So basically, Li Yong and another Long Zi come in disguised as Chow's kind of like
servants or
whatever.
Servants,
yeah. They're the ones like kind of lugging around like the weapons that he's delivering. And it was funny, like when we were watching the episode, I turned to Judo. I was like, is that guy wearing a disguise? And it turns out that it's Li Yong.
Yeah.
And,
I love he's like all hunched over and like coughing and stuff.
You can't get one past him.
Yeah. But once the fighting starts and Li Yong is like in full like kung fu mode, like he's doing his best Bruce Lee impression. Like he really nailed it.
It's dope. Yeah. That whole opening, like when they get into the back rooms, they're away from Chow and the rest of the gang, and it's just like him and like two other of the Fung Hais, and they put the boxes down and then they just kill those two dudes real quick, and it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did not pull any punches in this episode. There's like some swords going through people's heads and stuff like
that.
Oh my
god, that was amazing.
Yeah.
and the whole reason that they're kind of disguised and infiltrating the Fung Hais like palace, I guess you call it. Is they're planting the evidence that Xing is actually like the killer swordsman.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the police can arrest him and kind of take him off the chessboard.
Yeah.
But the real hero of this scene and this whole episode, I thought, was Hun Li's Chow. Like Chow steps it up a gate. Like we've always seen him as like the little fingerish, like, you know, like I don't do violence, I just kind of like manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
But in this scene, like he showed not only like can he like take some punishment,
mm-hmm.
but he can dish it out too.
Well,
I find it interesting that we compare him to Littlefinger. I don't.
What do you
I don't compare him to Littlefinger. I just he's just Chow.
He's better. He's better
I
than
root
Little
for
Finger.
This character.
Yeah.
He's like my favorite character of the show.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched Game of Thrones, I was waiting for Littlefinger to die. I wanted him to die.
Took him 7 seasons.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He is a little piece of shit.
Right. Chow's awesome.
Chow is awesome.
I agree.
He is like my favorite character of the show, just like I said. And I never want him to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he does have his fingers and everything, but that's just what he does. And I mean, I get the comparison, but this is a heroic version, sort of, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's still a shitbag, I guess. But Littlefinger was he's a piece of crap.
The cool thing about Chow is like he's not like a fighter. Like he fights a little bit in this, but then like there's a great scene where he uses his like you know his wrist gun, where
his self-preservation pistol.
Yeah. and he shoots a guy, and then all the Fun Guys are like hanging around, and he's like got his like one shot.
And the one warrior is like, you're out of bullets.
Yeah. And then he instantly uses his other arm for the other gun and shoots her.
No, I'm not. Blows her away. Yeah, that was great.
And as soon as he like fires that gun, Bill's like, "That's the signal."
Yeah, because originally Chow was supposed to leave, and as soon as Chow left, then the cops were supposed to go in, but Chow got stuck in there.
Yeah,
because they found him out.
Made a power play.
Yeah, they found him out, and he was being such a freaking douche.
Yeah.
Like, here, drink some milk. Let's get him into the freaking fun time.
It was the fermented mare's milk
stuff or whatever. So gross, and they're like pouring it down his throat. and he's coughing it all up. And then Chow, like a champ, he gets down, he coughs it all up, stands up, and he's like, to the Fung Hai! And he just plays the game
the
to buy them more time.
Motherfuckers I know!
It was a good move. But yeah, he got his ass kicked, but then he got the upper hand just long enough for the cops to get in there. Mm-hmm. And then the real brutality starts. And oh my gosh, this is a freaking fight scene for the records, man. I loved it. And this is when Big Dick Lee got his name back for me. Because he comes in freaking hardcore
guns blazing.
He's fighting. I think there's a scene in particular where he takes on three dudes at once. Yeah. He's like hitting them with a stick, shooting one other one, kicking one dude, takes them all down. I was like, that's freaking Big Dick. And then... And then he gets a hold of a lever action rifle, and he's like swinging that thing like the Terminator from freaking T1 or T2. I was stoked.
It was a pretty good fight scene.
I had so much freaking fun watching the scene.
A lot of stuff going on.
But the best fight was when Li Yong and Zing finally got to face off.
Well, this is when we know Li Yong. Do not fuck with Leon.
No.
That dude knows how to fight. And Zing knows it. That's why Zing's fighting dirty
and
the whole time.
Zing's like, we finally get to see which one's better. Leon's like, never even thought about
it. Dude, savage move.
I've never wondered.
Leon's the only person in the show who's beaten Awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder what the rematch of that's gonna be like, because Awesome's been training. But yeah,
I think Leon's gonna hook up with Awesome at some point and they're gonna be buddies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey, your sister's kind of
nuts. Your sister's kind of a psycho.
And he's going to be like, yeah, I know. You want to team up? That'd be an awesome team up.
Have you met Hong? He's awesome.
They're going to make their own Tong.
Yeah, that would be dope.
The Ali's. We control China now.
The funny thing was, at the end of this episode, Chow, after getting his ass kicked, basically goes and liberates his daughter from her mother, who's been prostituting.
Yeah.
But when he hands her off to Davenport to find a family, because his daughter looks white even though she's Asian. So
this was rough. This was a rough scene.
But it was funny because Davenport's like, what's her name? And Chow's like, Hannah, and she's like, Hannah?
Hannah? And he's like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, Hannah.
That hurt. That hurt a little bit. I saw that hurt his heart. That made me feel sad. But I
think you made the right move.
This is another thing that kind of came out of left field. I get it, but I needed just a little bit more setup for this, because we've never seen that girl's daughter do anything really, really bad to the point where Chow would be like, I need to get my daughter out of there.
No, no. She told him. So, Chow's been giving the prostitute mother money.
Mm-hmm.
To take care of the child, and so she doesn't have to turn tricks. But then he saw her, entaining gentlemen at the house while the daughter was there.
Did
after he gives her money?
Did I miss that?
Oh yeah,
it was in the previous episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They were on the honor system, and she was like, "I haven't had any clients."
Oh, okay.
And that's why he felt so bad. Like, it's a little late because they took all my stuff.
Yeah.
So then when he gives her money, and then he sees that she has been entertaining gentlemen. Yeah.
And his daughter's not the life I want for my daughter.
Okay, I take back my comments then. I must have missed that.
But also at the same time, whether you're, entertaining gentlemen while your kid is home or not, you still love your kid, and the horror of watching your child being taken away because of the choices that you have made.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that.
That was a hard call.
And then the poor little girl,
she seemed like
happy little girl, though.
She didn't seem like she was distraught.
I'm not gonna sit here and feel bad for
the hooker
shitbag mom. There's no way.
I don't think the daughter was like, "Oh no, mommy, please don't let him take me." Though that never happened. The daughter was like, "I'm getting the hell out of here." Okay, cool. Let's go.
I think the daughter was young enough to not understand that she was in a bad situation.
Yeah. Still, don't Davenport. This white savior lady, man, she pisses me off. I don't trust her. I'm like, Chow, don't give it to her. Anybody but her. There's something bad going on, I swear to God.
There's nothing bad going on.
She has a slave labor camp out in Napa Valley.
Making wine for her.
Making wine.
Grapefruit. She said she's going to, not sell, but she's going to give the girl to a rich, wealthy, white family that wants a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that seems shady, and I want to know who those people are before I get on board with this whole transaction.
Also, when Hannah grows up and has a kid and it looks Chinese, her husband is going to have questions.
What's happening here?
Yeah.
No, no. It's very strange.
But it's kind of funny because I remember in the early episodes of season one, Chow they established Chow had a thing for like the white hookers.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, there's
I pay extra.
There's so much setup and payoff in this show. It's awesome. The last bit of this episode is Sam and Mai Ling confront each other at the pirate ship fighting ring. Pretty emotional scene for them, but awesome. He's got a freaking bone to pick. He's not having any of
no.
it.
The first time I saw this episode, what I thought was going to happen was they obviously need the money and no one will give them a loan. So what I thought that Assam was going to do was start like losing on purpose to get extra money to buy molasses. But Assam is just the I don't throw fights, mm-hmm. but I will go to this tournament I know nothing about.
Yeah.
I think we also need to point out that Li Yong kicks Xing's ass, right? After Xing like kind of picks up the sword that he planted and tries to kill him.
Yeah.
And so
And Bill sees him using it and he's like, "Oh, yep, he's got to be the swordsman.
Perfect.
You should have seen him swinging that sword. Yeah. He's definitely the guy. Yeah, case closed."
But there's a great scene where Big Dick Lee shows up and and recognizes Xing mm-hmm. as the guy who basically like kicked his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like there's that great moment there where he arrests them, and then the police chief shows up in the aftermath, and there were a couple cops that were killed, but like every Long Z has just been slaughtered.
Yep.
And they've arrested Xing, and they're going through all the convenient evidence that's uh-huh. there, and the police chief is like, "Oh, you finally got your guy."
Uh-huh.
And
Lee's like, "Isn't this a little too convenient?" And Bill's like, "Yeah, isn't it great? Shut the fuck up."
It's the only sword in all of Chinatown.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are the odds of that?
Even Lee is like, "Yeah, that's the right type of sword," because basically Hong went to Atoy and got mm-hmm. her sword mm-hmm. to plant it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And during the fight, Li Yong kind of gets like a little bit messed up by Xing because like Xing is playing dirty. And when the cops show up, Li Yong has to jump out the window to escape. And so like he took his licks. But,
yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, he soundly beat Xing.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree.
You know, this all could have been avoided if Bill just didn't have a gambling problem.
Right?
Is the whole show Bill's fault?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
There's like 50 people have died because he owed Dickhead $50.
You're not wrong.
Or he could have just kept working for Xing.
Yeah. He didn't feel happy about that.
But you know what's...
$50.
You know what's crazy is like this season... So like the first season was good, right? And they had like a lot of action. But like this season, we got the home invasion at Bill's place, which was like... so tense and like crazy.
Yeah.
And then in this episode we got the fall of the fun guys where like they're just slaughtered. That was probably like one of the coolest fight scenes in
for
the
sure.
entire show.
Yeah. And it was so many people involved in it too.
But it was such a great storyline payoff as well.
Yeah, it was great. That scene, speaking of that, the payoff to this is like when Bill gets on top of Xing, like puts his knee into his gut and he's like, "Ooh." And he's like, "You dare take my freaking children." And like he was like, he had that look in his eye, like, "I'm going to make you freaking pay for that."
Should've just popped his eyeballs out.
He could have gotten away with anything. I would have been like, "Go, Bill."
Yeah. He lost his entire family.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this guy's a freaking douchebag. Mm-hmm. I am not on the Feng Hai's team.
Correct.
I'm like anti Feng Hai. I hope he gets.
I'm on the dirty cops.
You're the no fun guy.
I'm the no fun guy. What's gonna happen to Xing? Is he? Do you think he's gonna be a wild card
he's
later on?
Escape. Probably. Yeah. I know it.
I'm like,
season four.
You think Mei Ling is gonna be like, "I gotta bounce this guy. I gotta get him out of jail or something like that." You think she's gonna come to his rescue?
She shouldn't.
Yeah.
If she's smart.
No, she shouldn't. I think at some point, not this season, but next season, season three, I think he's gonna come back and start seeking some revenge.
Ooh.
He's gotta get out of jail first.
Well. We'll see that.
Maybe they'll just hang him.
Well, Awesome got out of jail.
So. Yeah. Is that it for episode 5?
I think so.
I think we're
good. Excellent. Well done. All right, guys, real quick. If you guys want to support what we do here at the channel, please go to saltynerdclub.com and join our Patreon. Or if you're a heavy YouTube user, we have a YouTube memberships area where you guys get exclusive podcasts on either one of those platforms, and each one's different. So if you're looking for some extra content, you can go to our members area and join up. We love the support. And we have a great time with our members. We unleash ourselves. It's like there's no filter for our members' content. So we have a lot of fun over there. So join up, help support the podcast, and we're looking forward to covering more Warrior stuff and interviews and stuff like that. We have a lot of stuff going on. So help support the channel. Go to the members area and sign up. All right, guys, on to episode 6. Jude.
Yes.
Do your thing.
All right, sir. Season 2, Episode 6, To a Man with a Hammer, Everything Looks Like a Nail. Assam, Hong, and Young Jun travel to the Kumite with Vega, the Spanish pirate lady. Assam gets into a bar fight immediately, of course, and Vega's like, I'm going to have to watch you very closely to keep you out of trouble, and then immediately leaves him to his own devices. Hong tries tequila and falls in love with a pair of boots. Assam and Vega exchange peg legs, and Hong shows off his new boots. He's just new boot goofing. Assam gets invited to dinner at the Barbary Coast White House, where it turns out this whole trip was a murder plot for Vega to get revenge on the man who killed her father. When the three best friends return home, they face an inquisition from Father June, who now knows just what the fuck they've been up to. Discuss.
I had so much fun with this episode.
Yeah,
yeah, this was a pretty
good
one.
As soon as they were like, oh, we're in a strange new location, I was like, oh, bottle episode! This is going to be awesome!
Down in a Mexicali. Yeah.
They didn't go to Mexico.
It's
they
very did. Close. No, it's no, it used to be, just, it used to be Mexico.
Yeah, it's called California.
It's a border town.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Either way.
She said all of this land used to be a part of Mexico.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And the white people stole it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
That's dirty white people.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We steal everything.
We steal a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm. We stole all that land.
I mean, we got...
The people that just came and took land that wasn't there
listen,
to begin with.
I mean, the people...
Stole all those prostitutes from my winery.
The people that came from Europe that had
terrible,
their land stolen
terrible
for generations
people.
Upon generations. Yeah. White people have been stealing land from each other. And we just came over here and we were like, that's normal
500
for
years, some other asshole's going to be parked here where we're at right now.
It happens.
Probably be Chinese or something.
Probably. They're going to take over, for sure. Yeah, that's fine.
And there's going to be a bunch of people out here going, you took our land, dirty communists.
It's going to be him.
It's going to be him.
I know.
You're going to be the Jimmy Hoffa of the 22nd
well,
century?
I'm not going to be around in 500 years.
No, you'll be a robot. Be fine. Yeah. We're going to AI clone you, and we're going to put you in a robot body. And you're just going to be like, I fucking hate you guys.
That would be the worst.
We'll make you a house out of tires.
That was a weird tangent. Anyway, back to the story. Tequila and burritos are amazing.
Yes.
And when they were sitting down at the table and Vega was like,
what is this?
Try some new
shit.
She's
like, have you ever had Mexican food? And they're all like, what?
No. What he said, no Mexican food in Chinatown. It's like, oh, you're missing out.
Yes, you are.
And you know what's funny? It's like every scene that Hong's in, he's eating something.
All the food looks so good.
Hong's always eating. Remember that when they were walking through the big fight?
Is he like the Brad Pitt?
No. He's the Jackie Chan.
He's Jackie Chan. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because Brad Pitt like famously eats in all his movies. Like, there's always a scene. It's like Tom Cruise in Running. Brad Pitt eating. It's it's
Arnold
one of those things.
Choppers.
Chopper needs to have like Jackie Chan do like a cameo.
Dude,
in season 3
I'd
or 4.
Freak out. If
That'd
they
be
got
awesome.
Chan. That'd be so dope.
Just be like some street vendor selling a frog on a stick or some shit.
That
would be awesome.
I'm in.
Myling's husband, who's actually still alive, but he's actually a really nice guy. She's been lying this whole time.
No, what if they made him a warlord from China? That guy died.
Tattoos,
they could bring him back.
Sure.
They'd be like, we thought he died. He really didn't. Look, it's Jackie Chan. I'd watch the shit out of that. Yeah, for sure.
But it was funny. Every scene, I was just like what's Hong eating right now?
Yeah. That looks delicious.
The food looks so good.
A lizard on a stick.
The tequila looked good. I'm watching the show and I'm like.
Yeah, Young Jun is like, tequila.
Do you remember?
That shit's good.
Do you remember? Remember how hungry we all were yesterday when
we
were in the studio?
I
think that's because of this episode.
Yes.
Because we're all like, let's go to a Mexican restaurant and get some Mexican food.
We're still going,
you
whether you go
going?
Or not. Yeah.
I'm good. I'll have to figure it out.
You guys know what's funny. So like, you know, we've talked with Jonathan Tropper, the showrunner on the show, and he's made it clear that like he doesn't know anything about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Uh-huh.
Yet, Bolo Young, the kumite in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, this was Bloodsport.
Yeah.
This was Jonathan Absolutely. Tropper's Bloodsport.
Okay, USA.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all the different fighting styles in the pit and Assam is... Okay.
Tropper's full of shit. I want it on record. I know he's full of shit. Oh, that's not a JCVD reference.
No.
And meanwhile, he's at home. He's got his JCVD cardboard cutout.
Okay, USA.
He has his fucking pillowcase he sleeps on. He kisses it. He fucking loves JCVD. Don't fucking lie to me. I know it.
But the scene where Awesome is like, he's eyeballing that what is he, British guy? Or was
Australian.
He Australian, yeah. He was an actual fighter. As soon as
Bisping is his last
name. He's a real fighter. Like
UFC
a real
fighter.
Yeah, UFC fighter.
Legit.
But like, I clocked the cauliflower ear immediately, and I was like, this guy's a brawler.
Mm-hmm.
And that little spat back and forth was like a nice little setup for what happened later.
There's a great scene where Awesome's kind of like going throughout the town and seeing like all the private security and all this other stuff. And he makes his way into a saloon, and this guy just comes, like, just knocks into Awesome and is like, watch where you're going, and like picks a fight with him. And Awesome just like kind of like puts him in like an arm grab, and the guy's like completely like, you know, useless. And he's like twice as
well,
big.
No, but I love that because the guy grabbed Awesome's arm and he's like, take your hand off my arm.
Uh-huh. And then he's like, they chat for a little while.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, I see you speak English. And he's like, apparently not good enough because your arm is still fucking touching mine.
And they build up this fight between these two for like half the fucking episode.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, yeah, like they show just how brutal that this Australian brawler is, where like he basically just like dismantles every single like opponent that he's put up against.
I do have a little bit of an issue with the structure of this tournament.
Oh yeah,
because
you have to go back and fight immediately.
This being the big tough brawler dude.
Yeah,
he had like five fights,
and Awesome
before
didn't fight
Awesome
well.
Never had a single fight.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Awesome didn't.
They just
fight.
Didn't show it, but you could see he had wear and tear on him.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No. What happened was the Brisbane Australian fighter guy. So like he fought on the first day.
Yeah.
And they fight multiple times per day. And then the second day is when Awesome started fighting, but Brisbane wasn't fighting on that day. So it wasn't until the third day that they faced off.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
He's not. It's nothing. the guy's last real name is Brisbane. Something like that. He's not from Brisbane.
We don't pronounce names correctly.
I didn't want you to like.
Did you Google it real quick?
I did the other day.
Oh, okay. Cool. But that's not a real tournament, though, right?
No.
Like, if you're doing a real tournament, then Awesome should have moved up in
the
ranks.
Awesome has a fight. That guy has a fight.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And they meet in whatever bracket that they're in.
I think because of Awesome's reputation, they've kind of bracketed him.
If you and I are going to have a fight in the tournament, you're not going to fight five times before I have my first fight.
Fair.
And fight you.
I think you're right.
Well, but the great thing was the final like confrontation between Awesome and this guy.
Well, but before that, the build up to it, like they're watching this guy fight, and everybody's like, "You think you can take him? Mm-hmm. You think you can take him?" He's like, "Yeah, I think I can take him."
And she's cool as a cucumber.
Vega's like, "Okay, all right, okay, good."
And even Young June is like, "Man, the last time I bet the fucking farm on you, you fucked up."
Yeah. and he does that right before he's about to fight. So I'm like, "Way to get into Awesome's head, Young June."
Young June's the worst.
Did him dirty.
So they finally face off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way that this fight goes down is just hilarious.
Finished.
Down. He does like this crazy spin kick and just slams the dude on the ground, and then he walks away and he's like, eh.
Yeah, it was like all this build up and then the fight's just like boom.
Yeah.
Glorious. I loved it. I think the only reason why I liked it so much was because it was awesome. If it was anybody else, I would have felt robbed. But knowing it was awesome, I was like, that's cool.
But we got a lot of kind of cool different fighting styles. Like we had some capoeira in those. We had like some guy with like weird fingernails.
And just,
like,
that was scratching.
Gross.
It really had that like that Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Well, that's moment. When the scratch across the chest. That was totally Enter the Dragon for sure. Yeah. Speaking of which,
and there was like a Bruce Lee impersonator that they had to fight in this tournament.
Side note, Enter the Dragon is playing at Galaxy Theater.
Yeah,
I know.
And I really want to go see it.
Yeah.
I would love to.
It's on Wednesdays and Sundays.
I can go one of those.
I know. I wanted to go, what was it, Sunday? But we had Tom's thing.
Is it today? I wonder if it's today. Maybe we should go see Enter the Dragon today.
Well, I can't.
Call of War.
You guys go ahead.
I'll give you $200.
No.
Anyway. So the fight proceeds, and then Awesome and Vega, and I think that's just those two, right?
They get invited into
the dinner. Yes. But before that, they screw. They have a nice little sex scene. Uh-huh. And
And it's funny because the entire episode, Young June and Hong are like, you hitting that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She wants it.
Just business.
Oh, my God. The scene between Hong and Young June is hilarious because Young June's like, so you like dudes? You into me? And Hong's like, no. And Young Jun's like,
why not?
Fuck?
What the fuck? Why not? Good looking guy. He's like, and then what do you say? He's like, it's like being into your sister or something like that.
He's like, would you want to fuck your sister?
he's like, I don't have a sister.
He's like, but if you did, would you want to fuck her?
He's like, no. It's gross. And he's like, well, there you go.
And he's still like, but why don't you want to fuck me?
No, but then Young Jun gets the metaphor and he's like, wait a minute, what? Call me your sister?
I've had that conversation. I've got a few gay friends.
Oh, okay.
And I'm all like, well, what's wrong with me? Well, you know.
Just not that idiot.
Money to fat guys or something. You know, it's like, whatever. It's just, So what's wrong with me?
they're like, I think I can do better.
Yeah. No, but I legit had that conversation with my friend.
You're the last person I ever would have thought I had that conversation. Like, oh, yeah, you know that big brawler bearded dude? Yeah, he had a conversation with a gay friend about who he would fuck.
It's like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, but anyway, it's funny because young June, like, he's hitting every prostitute in town.
He's like, I'm teaching her Chinese. How's it going? Terrible. She's kidding, say my name.
But I think Hong steals the show in one scene in this episode where basically he clocks these guys who are going to be jumping awesome to try to take him out of the tournament. And one of them he saw earlier with like some really nice boots.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And he's like, I really want those boots.
Oh, man, those look great.
And so Hong follows them. And right as they're about to attack awesome, he kind of comes in and basically just destroys these guys and steals their boots.
He has so much fun doing it, too.
I know.
It looks like he's having a blast.
He fights with a smile on his face every time. I adore him.
That's awesome.
And he fixes his hair in between, like, kicking
it. Oh, the way he did it in this episode, when he's, like, he's got it all in his face, and he's done beating the crap out of these guys, and he goes,
little flair.
I was like, right on, bro. Well deserved.
It's really hard being this pretty.
I know. okay, let's talk about the dinner scene then. So Assam and Vega get invited to the inner circle to the dinner with the town leader guy. I can't remember his name. What's his name?
Rooker?
Rooker, yeah, something like that. Starts with an R. And Vega has like, she's got some ulterior motives.
Oh, yeah.
And
she starts this really quick.
Yeah, she starts going off on this monologue.
Yeah,
but
before you get to that, okay. I just want to point out that, so Rooker, I'm just going to call him Rooker.
Sure.
He keeps referring to awesome as Sam.
Oh, yes.
Yes!
Oh, I forgot about that.
And he's like, so, Sam, how much would it cost for you to come in and teach my guys some of that, what do you call it, Chinese boxing? He's like, kung fu.
Gung-fu.
Kung-fu. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a nice
scene. How much to teach these teach my boys how to hit like a Chinaman?
I love Awesome's like, I'm not a teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that. Yeah, it was funny. But
I just liked how he just kept referring to him as Sam.
That's a funny. Yeah, I forgot that he called him Sam. But he keeps talking about his gun. He's showing off his fancy freaking, you know, engraved gun that he has. And that's a setup from earlier. He was showing it off. And then in this season or in this episode, he's in this dinner scene. He's talking about it as well.
It's a custom made pistol.
Vega starts like, oh, that's a really nice gun. Can I see it? And she convinces him somehow to like, he empties the gun out or the bodyguard does and passes the gun down to her. And she's
it is
like,
Rooker.
Cool. And she's talking about her family legacy and how, like, yeah, you know, my father owned a plot of land and these white people came and they shot him with a gun just like this one.
Yeah, at first she's like, I've seen a gun like that before. And he's like, oh, there's not a chance. This is a one of a kind.
Puffing his chest out. I'm like, you're walking into it.
And he makes it clear that because the gun's custom and the barrel's a little bit wider than, like, your average, you know, kind of manufactured gun, he has to make the bullets himself custom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he's pretty sure that, like, no one has, like, the same bullets that could fit that gun.
Pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And then she has this necklace that has a bullet on it. And I'll tell you what, as soon as that happened, I was like, pause. I got to check. And I went back to the first episode when she first came walking down the stairs.
There?
It's there. There's a bullet around her neck. And I was like, fucking Tropper. Man. That is set up and payoff. That was incredible. So I was like, verified, good to go. And I continued watching episode 6. And then she freaking puts the bullet in the gun and blows the dude away. And then it's revealed a little bit later, you know, they get in trouble. They have to fight their way out of the town, basically. And Awesome's like, what the hell did you just do? they start fighting. Young June gets two steak knives instead of his actual blades. And he's fighting with these two little steak knives.
It was a real kind of like Wild Bunch scenario where basically like it was four against like an army.
Yeah.
And they had to improvise.
Yeah. And Rooker's like head of security comes out and he's like $2,000 to anyone who like kills those guys. And so like they're fighting their way through basically this entire town filled with like supposedly the world's best fighters.
Yeah. And then the wife of Rooker comes out and says, just capture them and we'll send them to wherever to get, hung for trial or whatever. So like, I don't have the taste for this bloodlust or whatever she was. I think that's what he said. So they get taken into the little cart. They get taken out of town by the deputies.
Supposedly the marshals.
Supposedly. Up, yeah. And then about halfway, Awesome's like, the hell, you put our lives at risk. Now we're in jail. Like, you completely screwed us over for your own revenge.
Plus, I'm not going to be able to win this tournament.
Yeah, and then she's like, just wait. Just wait. And then the other carriage shows up, and it turns out that the Rooker's wife was actually Vega's sister, who the whole thing was choreographed and planned between the two of them to get revenge for their father.
And now that Rooker's dead, all of his land and titles and money goes to her. And so, like, basically, the family that got their land and fortune stolen from them now has it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we should also point out that before, like, about three-fourths of the way through the episode, Awesome and Vega, like, basically sleep together. And she tries to tempt him to give up his life in San Francisco and stay with her because she kind of knows what she has planned. And in this episode, or at the end of this episode, there's another moment where, like, basically the sister gives them the prize money that they were fighting for.
And then gives them their weapons back, too.
Yeah. So like, basically, it's not, like, a complete wash for them. Like, they actually got what they came for. But then Vega goes to Awesome, and she's like, you don't have to go back. You know, like, you can stay with me. And then just right before Awesome's about to make his decision, you hear a gunshot.
Mm-hmm. And Vega takes a hit by the bodyguard, who I don't remember his name. Mm-hmm. But he shows up out of nowhere. I guess he walked behind the carriage.
He teleported.
Yeah, he's like, aha, I got you. I don't know how that all went down. I don't know how nobody saw him. They were in the middle of the desert.
He's loaded up on his horse.
Yeah, it's not like he was hiding from anybody. There's nowhere to hide. He's either on a horse or he's running. Either way, somebody should have seen him.
Army crawling through the desert.
He's like, I'm going to catch you one way or another. But he gets there and he shoots Vega, which I was kind of bummed out because I really liked her character.
He's hiding behind a bush the whole time.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, here's another swerve. Here's another big...
aha moment.
A big moment. And I'm like, oh, enough. Enough with the big moments.
Yeah, but right before Vega dies, she looks at Awesome and she's like, would you have come with me? And Awesome, of course, lies. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'd have come with you.
Yeah, he totally lied.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, V?
I don't know. I'm fine.
Okay. So that's how the episode ends, right?
Well, it ends with them returning to Chinatown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they go back to Chinatown.
Shit, there is an Inquisition.
They walk back into the house of the, what's the?
Hopway.
Hopway, thank you. They walk back into the Hopway's house, and Father June is waiting there with, like, the council of men.
Y'all should have stayed in California.
And he's like, y'all have a lot of explaining to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it ends. Boom, cut to black.
Yep.
That's a big cliffhanger, too. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was nice. I said when we started the podcast, but these two episodes were by far my two favorite episodes of the season. Easy. These were awesome. Both heavy hitters, both a lot of fun, tons of fighting. Awesome. Everything we love about the show was, like, just crammed into these two episodes. It was great.
Yeah.
Great storytelling. The setup and payoff with that bullet. Chef's kiss. Amazing.
I also want to point out the music in this episode. Like, they use, like, the warrior theme in, like, a lot of different ways.
Yeah, they did.
And what's great is, like, so me and Jude watched this show with subtitles on.
Mm.
And every time the theme hits, a little subtitle pops up that says, spaghetti Western music. We're like, okay. But no, the music in the last two episodes has been really phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's been on point. This season, everything that we liked about season one, this season, they were like, yep, let's beef it up a little bit. You know, it's got bigger casts, got more active, like, extras in the backgrounds of places. Everything feels more packed and crowded like a city should. It's just, I'm having so much fun. I cannot wait to finish this up. And season three is coming around the corner.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome. All right, V, final thoughts on these two episodes, man? You got anything for us?
Not a ton. I think we covered it pretty well.
Cool.
Fun. I had a great time watching these.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to what happens next.
Seven and eight.
Be very interesting. Yeah.
Are you still pissed off that you like the show, so it's hard to make fun of it?
A little bit. It gets to be a little bit much at times, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, there was literally swerve after swerve in this last episode. You know, and it's just like, what's going to happen next? It's like, I'm not as surprised now when something big and stupid happens.
Like, you mean a death or something that? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This is what it is.
It's just Vega, right? Who else died in this? Nobody else has died. I mean,
Rooker died.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't care about him.
It's fine. But.
Kumite, kumite, kumite.
Yeah. During the tournament, Jude and I were like, kumite.
I'm with Jude on this. I think Tropper's lying about his fandom of JCVD.
He's like a secret JCVD.
He's like, yeah. I almost sound queer or nothing. But I really like JCVD.
Jude, final thoughts on these two episodes?
Tequila.
Yes.
Mexican food.
Absolutely.
Boots.
Sure. Perfect.
Perfect.
I think we're going to go get some Mexican food after this, too. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Kadish, final thoughts on these two episodes, man. Take it away.
Yeah, these two episodes were very strong, especially coming after the home invasion at Bill's place. Pretty much since the first episode of season two, we've just been going full steam ahead. And to see like the fun guys be taken down in the mid-season episode, really good payoff. And then like we've got a really great setup with this episode, but it wasn't just setup. It was like its own fun little episode. It kind of reminds me of like the episode where, you know, they were in Southern Nevada and they had to take on those outlaws in that saloon. So, like, I really like when they get out of San Francisco and it feels more like a Western.
When they go to Barstow.
Yeah, exactly. So, these were two very excellent episodes. Most fun I've had this season watching these two back-to-back. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, guys, that's it for the podcast. Thank you for watching this video. If you are new to our channel because of this show, stay tuned. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, the little bell notification, because we are covering season 3 at length when it drops on June 29th. So make sure to be there, Father June 29th. And after the show ends, or season 3, it's very likely that we'll be having some cast and crew members from the show come on to talk to us about it. So if you love the show as much as we do, hop on the train, because we're choo-chooing away. I don't know what the heck that was all about. All right,
did
guys.
You just do this? We're choo-chooing away.
We're choo-choo. Yeah, choo-chooing? Yeah, we're choo-chooing away on this freaking, on the hype train, buddy.
Like a bunch of gummy dicks. Choo-chooing them.
On that note, stay salty.